35 this morning. Looked at several verses there. This morning, David is being falsely accused of several different things. Falsely accused concerning Saul and his relationship to him. He's been lied about. He's been slandered. And yet David goes to the Lord in prayer, seeks the Lord's help on behalf of these situations. And that's certainly what you and I should do as well. I entitled the sermon, The Blessing of False Witness. I did that because we see through the psalm, even though David was mistreated by man, the Lord entreated for him and certainly helped him. And that's a great blessing. The verses we looked at this morning, speaking about David's cowardly enemies, I won't read all the verses, but I will read just a couple to show you. Verse number 7, he said, "For without cause they have hid for me their net. They have hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul." They laid a trap for him. Verse number 11, he said, "False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not." Verse number 12, the Bible says, "They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul." Verse 15, they said, "But in my adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and ceased not." So they gathered together without his knowledge. They spoke against him. They tear him verbally. And the Bible says that they ceased not doing that. Verse number 20, the Bible says, "For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against me, against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, Ah, ah, our eye hath seen it." So David's enemies, he tells us about his enemies, how wicked they are and what they're doing. And so let's pray together and we'll begin looking at David's attitude towards his enemies. Father, thank you for the Bible. The opportunity to be in church this afternoon. Pray you'd help us to be a blessing and help to God's people. Well, thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. We saw in the verses that we just read in the sermon we preached this morning how David's enemies are toward him or were toward him during the writing of this psalm. Verses 13 and 14, even though his enemies were lying about him, mistreating him, and all kinds of things, this is his attitude. He said, "But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother." And so the way that David responded to this is how his enemies treated him is a great example of how our wonderful Savior has responded to our treatment of him. I'm thankful that the Lord did not respond to me the same way that I responded to him when he began to convict me of my sin, show me of my need of a Savior. I certainly didn't run to him right away. I continued to resist him for a long time. But I'm glad that the Lord remained faithful in wooing me and drawing me. And so David had a kind, considerate, compassionate towards those who were his enemies. And all I can say is, Lord, please help me to be kind and considerate of others, even when they're not kind and considerate of me. You say, how is that possible? Well, it's not humanly possible, but it is possible if the Spirit of the Lord dwells within you. Look what the Bible says. Hold your place in Psalm 35. We're coming back. But come to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And let's look at the words of the Lord Jesus. Even with the Spirit of the Lord dwelling in us, when people rise up against us and say false things and evil things about us, if we're not walking in the Spirit, if we're walking in the flesh, we're going to find ourselves in trouble. But if we're walking in the Spirit, the Lord will help us with those things. This is the example of the Lord. Jesus said this in Matthew 5:43. "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you," this is what Jesus said, "love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So long before these words of the Lord Jesus Christ was ever recorded in the New Testament, we saw that David had this same kind of attitude concerning his enemies way back here in Psalm 35 and in other places as well and throughout the Psalm. So what a blessing that David had that kind of attitude and that kind of spirit even towards those who were his enemies. Now, in spite of David's attitude toward his enemies, if we read the entirety of this chapter, and we're going to read some more of the verses here in just a moment if you want to come back to chapter 35 or Psalm 35, there are some verses. Now, there's nothing contradictory in the Bible, and we've been looking at some problem texts in the Scripture. There seems to be some issue in this Psalm, but there's not. I say that because there are 10 verses that seem that David is praying that seems to be prayer against his enemies. And in spite of the fact of the verses that we just read, he said, I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. But let's look at some of these verses. How do we reconcile these other verses in this psalm that seem, and I do want to reiterate that seem to contradict what David said in verses 13 and 14. Well, I promise you this, there's no contradictions in the King James Bible, so let's look at what David said. Look at verse number 4. Psalm 35, verse number 4. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. Skip down to verse number 8. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself into that very destruction. Let him fall. Skip down to verse 19. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, Ah, our eye hath seen it. Skip down to verse 24. Look at the last part of the verse. And let them not rejoice over me. Verse 25. Let them not say in their hearts, Ah, we would have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice in mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Now, I asked the question above. David had made the statement in verse 13 and 14 that he has, in spite of what they have done to him, he has entreated them as a friend and a brother. And then we read all of these verses, 10 verses in this particular psalm, that seems that David had fasted or that David had prayed and asked God to avenge his enemies. And David certainly is praying and asking the Lord to intercede on his behalf. But I believe that David's prayer for his evil enemies, I believe that he had fasted and prayed for them long before their sin against him was manifested outwardly. In other words, this sin was in their heart, this sin was in their nature, this sin was in their desire. But even before it came to the forefront or to fruition, or before David had realized or saw that these that he thought were his friends were actually his enemies, I believe that David had prayed for God to protect him. And so their refusal, these enemies, whoever they may be, we have no idea who they are, unless they are Saul and his men, his henchmen. It could very well be that. We're not for sure. But we all have enemies, and they're different enemies. We know that. Because these enemies had refused to obey God, because they had refused to heed the warning of the Lord, the Bible says in verse number 13, I think this is key at the end of the verse, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. It seems that the Lord refused to answer David's prayer because his enemies were dead set against him. Not just David, but against God. And because of their refusal to trust and obey the Lord, this prayer had went forth. So when David's enemies had began to act out against David, David began to pray that God would protect him, that God would keep his hand on him. And that certainly is good for you and I to do as well. There's a lot of, we can't take things in our own hand. We can't take matters into our own hand. If we do that, we're going to wind up in trouble. We're going to make a big mess out of it. As Brother Jordan said this morning, we get involved. We try to do things our own way and in the lust of our flesh and desires of our flesh and following what our flesh would like to do, we're going to make more harm than good. And so David prays, said, look, Lord, this is out of my hands. I've tried to be good to them. I have been good to them. I've done all of these wonderful things to try to help them, and yet they are continually at my destruction. They're continually at my demise. They have nothing good to say about me. They're lying about me. They're bearing false witness against me, and they're doing all of those things without cause. I've given them no reason to do that. And so David prays and asks God to take care of the situation. Now understand, I hope you do as well, we have no right or authority. I hear these people all the time, especially a certain religious group of people, they think that they can command God or that they can tell God what to do. And we certainly cannot tell God what to do. We can ask the Lord to intervene on our behalf. I'm thankful for that. We certainly have no power to pray for someone's destruction, but we can pray for God's protection. And so, here's what we don't understand a lot of times. God is long-suffering and merciful to our enemies, just like He is us. We're grateful that God is long-suffering and merciful towards us, and we're thankful that God is kind towards us, and we're thankful that God shows grace unto us. Well, you remember, He shows mercy and kindness and grace to your enemies as well. And so we can pray for God's protection. David did that. We can do that as well, and I'm glad that we can do that. But we better not be seeking to intervene on our own behalf and take matters into our own hand. We'll really make a mess of things. And so we see David's cowardly enemies. We see David's attitude toward his enemies. In spite of all that they're done, David has prayed and turned them over to the Lord and has not taken things into his own hand. Now, David's prayer. Now, I've mentioned all of these things that David has asked the Lord to do to his enemies or on behalf of himself toward his enemies. But notice David's prayer concerning his enemies. We see that in the first three verses. Look at this. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. I promise you, if we can get the Lord to do that on our behalf, it'll be far better than anything we can do. Verse number 3 said, draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. So several things we see that David prays for in this prayer. The first thing he prays for, the Lord to fight his enemies. He said, fight against them that fight against me. And so David has this group of enemies. I've mentioned several times all the things that we read in this psalm concerning those enemies and their reaction towards David and their desire to harm him both physically and emotionally, and they want to destroy his name, and they're lying about him. They're doing all of these kind of things that you and I would not enjoy at all if someone was doing that toward us. And so David says here, he's asking the Lord, he said, fight against them that fight against me. You know, the Bible teaches us, the New Testament teaches us, that we're not to strive with others. But I'm glad that we can ask the Lord to fight our battle on our behalf, aren't you? Now, let's hold your place there and let's look at a couple of places. Come to 2 Timothy. Find 2 Timothy chapter 2 and Romans chapter 12, and then we'll come back to the Psalms. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and Romans chapter 12. And we're just looking at a couple of verses in the Bible, the New Testament, where we are commanded, we are instructed of the Lord not to strive with man. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 is the verse. I want to back up to, let's just start at verse number 22. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Verse 23, some instruction, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Now here's our verse. It goes along with what we're talking about this afternoon. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. See that? I didn't say he should not, or he'd be better off if he didn't. The Bible says he must not strive. I know a lot of times it is really easy for us to get into strife and contention with people. But the Bible commands us as followers of the Lord, servants of the Lord, we must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, so on and so forth. Well, let me just read it, verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. And so may the Lord help us not to be striving with our fellow man, but to be kind, to be patient, to be long-suffering, amen, to be gentle, apt to teach. And you say, preacher, I can't do that. I can't either, but the Lord within us can if we'll let him, amen. Now, come to Romans 12. I mentioned this. Romans 12. Here's some good instruction. Verse number 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now understand that from the wording of that verse, there's going to be sometimes it's not going to be possible for you to live peaceably with someone. That still doesn't give you the freedom to harm them or cause them or to harm them or to cause or to go against them to try to, I'm looking for a word. You're not to return evil for evil, amen. Or just because they can't get along with you doesn't mean that you shouldn't continue to be kind and gentle, amen. Here's the verse. Look at verse number 19. Here's the verse that goes along with our thought. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. And it doesn't even stop there, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And so you can take vengeance into your own hand. Oftentimes you have the ability and the wherewithal to do that. You can do that if you want to, but I promise you, you're not going to help the situation. In fact, you're probably going to do more harm to the situation than you're going to do good. You say, well, I don't know. I tell you, the Lord can fight your battles better than you can. Now look at Psalm 37. Look at Psalm 37. We're going to be back to Psalm 35 in just a minute. I got a couple of more of these. David prays for the Lord to fight for his enemies. Look at Psalm 37. Look at verse number 5. This is a Psalm of David as well. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So too many times we are guilty of doing what our flesh feels like doing instead of committing our way to the Lord's way and allowing him to fight for us. It's really easy for us to follow after the lust and desires of the flesh. It is difficult to commit our way to the Lord and allow him to do it for us. But man, if we would learn to do that, we'd be far better off. Look at Psalm 46. Psalm 46. I love this passage of Scripture. God is our refuge and strength. The Lord is a refuge is a place of safety. I'm glad that God is our refuge and strength. And look at this. The verse doesn't end there. A very present help in trouble. Look, when you're in trouble, the Lord will be there with you. He is our refuge and our help. This is a great truth that we need to remember when we're facing difficulties in life and troubles in life. We're trying to deal with those things on our own and take all of those things in our own hands. Why don't we allow the Lord to take care of them for us? So David is in a bad situation again here in Psalm 35. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to avenge myself. I'm not going to go after these enemies. I'm not going to slander them back. I'm not going to chase them down. I'm not going to send my men after them. I'm just going to ask God to take care of them. Now, so David prays for the Lord to fight for his enemies. Second of all, David prays for the Lord to deliver him from his enemies. I'm glad that we can pray for the Lord to fight for us. I'm glad we can ask God to just deliver us from the situation. Look at this in Psalm 35. Look at verse 17. Look at verse 17. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. So David here seems to be concerned about how much longer this trial is going to be. He asked the question, how long? I'm sure that there's been things in your life that you have faced. There's been problems that you faced. There's been difficulties. There's been trials. There's been tests. And I'm sure that oftentimes we question the Lord. We have the same question that the psalmist had. Lord, how long? How long is this going to take? How long is this going to go? How much further or how much longer am I going to have to endure all of this heartache and all this thing that's going on? How long? So David seems to be concerned about the length of this trial, how long it is lasting. He knows that the Lord can rescue him. He just doesn't know when. I know the Lord can rescue us. Oftentimes we get concerned about the when as well. Oftentimes our trials seem to be prolonged for an extended period of time. I have no idea how come some trials last a lot longer than others. How come some things, I don't know that here on this earth you'll ever get past. But God's grace is sufficient, amen. And so I praise the Lord for that. But some trials seem more longer, more difficult than others. But I'm glad that our Lord has promised us He would never leave us or forsake us. Now, hold your place here and come to Psalm 6 for just a moment. Psalm 6. Numerous times in the Bible, the Psalms specifically, this question of how long has been asked. I don't know that I've got time to preach on all of them. I'll mention several of them. In Psalm 6, look at verse number 2. Psalm 6 is a plea for mercy. It is the Psalm of David. And the psalmist said in verse number 2, have mercy upon me, O Lord. Now notice this next phrase, for I am weak. Now, I don't know about you, but I appreciate the honesty of the psalmist. Many times I've gone to the Lord in prayer about a certain situation, and I have to confess to God. You ever had things that come up you don't even know how to pray for? You don't know where to pray for or to pray against. All you know is that God is faithful and God is righteous and God is holy and He knows what's best in every situation. And so you just go to God with an honest heart and say, Lord, I don't know what's right. I don't know what to do. I don't have a clue which way to go, but You do. And so you just trust the Lord. And so the psalmist said, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. And when we don't know what to do, you know what that means? It means we're weak. And so I'm glad we can trust the Lord when we're weak. I need Your help, amen. He said, O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But Thou, O Lord, how long? Now, many times we're guilty of reading the Bible. I hope you're guilty of reading the Bible. Oftentimes we're guilty of reading the words. And maybe we're trying to accomplish a certain amount of reading in one day, or maybe, and it's okay, I'm not being critical of any of these things, but sometimes we don't pay attention to what we read, or the attitude, or the compassion, or the emotion that the psalmist is putting into his words. I think he's broken. And he's pleading with God, Lord, how long is this situation going to last? How long is it going to take? I'm growing weary. It is a painful question. And we see that, in fact, 16 times in the Psalms, the psalmist asked the Lord, how long? Now, I don't have a great answer for that. I think this is true. The unfortunate answer to that question is this, I believe, as long as it takes. Now, that doesn't mean that it takes the Lord any amount of time. But the Lord wants to teach us things. He wants to strengthen us in certain situations. Many times, we go through things not even for ourselves. I think there's often times the Lord puts us through things in our lives because somewhere down the road, He wants to use us to help somebody else. And so, oftentimes, it takes us a while to get the memo. And so we say, how long, Lord? How long, Lord? And the answer to that is, the Lord said to Mary, this can be over as quickly or as lengthy as it takes for you to get it, bud. So the answer is this, the Lord will discipline us until we learn the lesson He wants us to learn. And that doesn't mean that you've done anything wrong at all. It's just that you are His child. And if you have children, I hope you tried to train them. You tried to instruct them. You tried to teach them. You know what the Lord's trying to do? He's trying to train us. He's trying to instruct us. He's trying to teach us. And oftentimes that comes with difficult life lessons. And He wants us to learn to trust Him. So sometimes it takes a while. Look at this in Psalm 13. Another Psalm of David. We see the questions again several times. Psalm 13:1. How long wilt thou forget me? Well, it's going to be a while, because surely the psalmist understands God hasn't forgotten him. But don't get too critical of the psalmist, because oftentimes we find ourselves in a little bit of trouble and we think, oh, the Lord's forgot about me. Well, here's lesson number one. No, He hasn't. Hang on. And so the psalmist said, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? So four times in two verses, the psalmist is crying out in despair. How long? How long is it going to take? Amen. And so the psalmist just breaks out in this cry in the midst of his troubles. He had apparently borne them for longer than he could take. And he begins to ask God, how long? This certainly isn't David's character. We know that from a lot of the other writings that we have and a lot of the other psalms and a lot of things in 1st and 2nd Samuel, other places in the Bible that we have about David. We understand that David's character is not to murmur and complain. He's bore much affliction and heartache and difficulty in his life, but he's come to the point where he's hoping for relief. I'm glad when we get to that place, the Lord can and will help us. Amen. So we can continue on. Psalm 94 in verses 3 and verse number 4. He asks, how long, how long, how long? And the Lord looks on that kind of faith. Lord, we trust You. I believe You're going to take care of it. But when? I'm glad God's faithful. Amen. Now, come back to Psalm 35. We're looking at this prayer that the psalmist has prayed, and he has asked the Lord to fight his enemies. He's asked the Lord to deliver him from his enemies. Now, the third thing that he asks here is to deliver justice upon his enemies. Now, look at this in verse number 19. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. Now, I'll say several things. But here's what I want you to notice first. And whatever David is facing, and whatever David is going through, he has a clear conscience. Now, that's important. People may accuse you of all kinds of things. They may bring all kinds of accusations against you. But when you know that you have tried your best to live in such a way that's honoring to the Lord and pleasing to God and right with your fellow man, regardless of how other people are treating you, you can go to the Lord the same way that David did. And he said, I don't want them wrongfully rejoicing, and I don't want them to hate that wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. So, first of all, it's a tremendous blessing to have a clear conscience. How do you have a clear conscience? Live right. Amen. Do right. Act right. None of us are perfect. I understand that. But you know good and well when you're trying to do right and when you let the flesh take over. You know when you're walking in the Spirit and you're walking after the lust of the flesh. You know when you're striving to honor God and please the Lord and when you're not. Don't look at me like you don't know the difference. You know the difference. And so the psalmist here, he has a clear conscience. Now, David said, if mine enemies be able to rejoice over me, what they have heard concerning me, they will be rejoicing wrongfully. He said, they hate me. They hate me without a cause. I've not given them a reason to hate me. God help us to not give people the reason. Now listen, I want to say this. That doesn't mean they won't hate you. Don't give them a reason to hate you. If they do hate you, they're doing it without cause. That's the whole key here. And so it's not that nobody will ever hate you. If you live godly in Christ Jesus, some people just ain't going to like you. Now look at verse number 20. David said, for they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. And so David refers to himself and many others who are the remnant of Israel that have been quiet concerning Saul. They haven't been out to destroy Saul's name. They haven't been ridiculing Saul. They haven't been slandering Saul like like we do our government. They weren't doing that, even though he deserved that. And he said, we haven't done that. They had not sought to destroy him. They had not sought to overthrow his throne. Look at verse 21. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, our eye hath seen him. In spite of that, David's enemies, they're laughing, they're mocking, they even lied, saying that they had seen him be disrespectful towards Saul, or they had seen him slander Saul, or they had taken notice of him trying to overthrow Saul. Just blatant lies, amen. Look at verse 22. This thou hast seen, O Lord. Keep not silent, O Lord. Be not far from me. Now here's the thing. This is what I like. It's David's word against whoever's word, but the Lord knows what's right. And David, with a clear conscience, said, I'll tell you what, the Lord's seen what happened, and he knows what happened. And if you're right, praise the Lord for that. If you're wrong, get it right so you can praise the Lord for it, amen. And so he said, Lord, keep not silent. Don't be far from me. I'm glad that the Lord will stay close to us. We've mentioned that already. And he asked the Lord to speak on his behalf. So, listen, Saul may have had the multitudes of people. They may have been lying in Saul's favor. They may have been taking Saul's side, which obviously they probably would, him being the king at the time and all of that. But I want to tell you, if you and God are a majority, God's a majority by himself. I want to be on his side, amen. And so David is asking the Lord not to be far from him. Look at verse 23. Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment. Even unto my cause, my God, and my Lord. So we understand that Saul is unjust, and he is certainly behaving himself in an unjust manner. That's very clear in the passage. David is pleading with the Lord to judge him instead of allowing Saul to do so. I'm glad that the Lord's judgments are righteous judgments. Oftentimes, I think we are taken aback when we're talking about, we see in the Psalms where they ask the Lord to judge them. The Lord will always judge us with righteous judgment. Mankind will not do that. So David said, Lord, I want you to judge. I don't want Saul to have the privilege. It'll be a privilege to him. I don't want Saul to have the authority. I don't want Saul to have the ability to judge me. I want you to judge me, Lord. And so may the Lord help you and I to live our lives in such a way that we can ask the Lord to judge us instead of others. Amen. What a blessing it is to have the ability as believers to enter into the throne room of God and beg the Lord to help us. Now, look at verse 24. We're talking about this judgment. He said, judge me, O Lord my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. I'll tell you, the kings and the rulers of this world, they're unjust. I don't care which ones it is, which ones you adore, and which ones you like. They're unjust men. And so they were in that day. They are in this day. That's why I don't put my confidence in man. My confidence is in the Lord. Amen. And so we need to rely on the Lord's righteous judgment and still the judgment that comes from the enemies of God. Now, the Lord will certainly take care of those who trouble us. I like this verse. I want to ask you to turn there. 2 Thessalonians 1:6, the Bible says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. So the Lord will take care of things. Now, come back to Psalm 35. We'll look at this last point. So we've seen David's cowardly enemies in this psalm. We've seen David's attitude toward those enemies. We see David's prayer concerning his enemies. Now, I want you to notice David's joyful decision to praise the Lord for deliverance from his enemies. Now, look at verses 9 and 10 first. Well, there's three of these. Look at verse 9 and 10. He said, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation. God is my salvation, the Bible says in Isaiah 12. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto Thee, which delivers the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. And so even from the very depths of David's soul, even from his bones, David is rejoicing in his salvation and his deliverance from his enemies. I don't know about you, but I am rejoicing in my salvation and God's deliverance from mine enemies. Amen. Look at verse 18. He says it again. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. David promises to publicly praise the Lord. You should never be ashamed to rejoice and give praise to our God, regardless of the company that you're in. The Lord is worthy of our praise, especially for our salvation and our deliverance from sin. And my, we ought to be willing to praise Him. Now, He makes mention of the great congregation in verse number 18. Much people mentioned in the verse as well, probably had to do in the literal context with the gathering together when Israel gathered together as a nation to celebrate feast days, etc. David said, when that happens, I'm going to be sure in that great congregation to praise the Lord. You ought to be willing to praise the Lord. He's worthy. Now, look at this one more time. Verse 28, he said, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise. Now, look at this. All the day long. So, when you and I, when we make appeal to God, we must in confidence leave the matter in His hands. God is able to take care of it. When we do that, rejoicing that He is able, praising Him for all that He's done, and those who are joyful in the Lord are best able to speak of His righteousness. Now look, here, I'm going to read a conclusion and I'll be done. If you read this psalm from beginning to end, you will discover something that is true with the majority of the psalms, or a lot of the psalms, I should say, and that is that the psalm is repetitive. Now, this psalm consists of three prayers for deliverance from David's enemies. It lists three reasons he seeks or needs deliverance. And then David praises the Lord at the conclusion of each prayer for his deliverance. Here's what I want you to see. David has enemies. We heard about them. We read about them. David prays and asks God to defend him and protect him from his enemies without lifting his hand or his voice to do it himself. And before the Lord ever delivers him from those enemies, David goes ahead and starts praising the Lord for his deliverance before it ever happens. You know what that's called? Faith. And so may the Lord help you and I to have faith that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which we even ask or think. Now, I believe the reason that the psalm is repetitive is to remind us that we are in a continual battle with our enemies. And man, when that's the case, it is the biggest enemy that we have, we see in the mirror every time we look in a mirror. And it's a continual battle that we battle within ourselves. And I'm glad that God is able to give us victory over our rotten flesh. Amen. If we'll continue to pray and trust the Lord, He will continue to deliver us. And in return, we should continue to praise the Lord. I think it was Brother Mays Jackson that said, we're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or headed into a storm. This psalm is a reminder to us all that in spite of continued troubles in this life, we can rest assured that our Lord has not, will not, and will not ever forsake us. What a blessing that we can trust in Him. Amen. Father, thank You for the Bible.